Issues, etc. listeners are needed to vote for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has the right to vote through a pastoral and a lay voter, two voters per congregation or parish. Voter registration must be completed by midnight central on March 19th of 2023. Request to be a voter at your congregation for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more at issuesetc.org/2023nominations.
Welcome to the 95th Oscars. If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor and permitted to give a 19-minute long speech.
For all the little boys and girls who look like me watching tonight, this is a beacon of hope and possibilities. This is proof that dreams dream big and dreams do come true. And ladies, don't let anybody tell you you are ever past your prime.
The Oscar goes to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I just want an Oscar. I just want an Oscar.
Some excerpts from the Academy Awards recently held. One movie won the night. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Joining us to talk about the Academy Awards and that movie, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled The Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Many were noticing that the tone and even the appearance of this year's Oscars was markedly different than previous years. What did you notice?
I think basically it was kind of a let's go with our strengths kind of Oscars. It's certainly a lot of the political stuff was toned down. It was still in there. Like they took a couple pot shots later on in the broadcast. They didn't like front load a bunch of it right off the get-go to like turn the audience off. I think they kind of maybe wanted people to watch the Oscars a little bit more this year. But that's kind of ironic because in the end, they gave out awards that, like the Oscars, this is something where the members of the Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Academy, like they vote on it. So it's a meritocracy. So it's an inside industry thing. They all vote on them, on who wins what. So in the end, they still, like the taste of the voters is still probably not the same taste as your average moviegoer at the time. So they definitely made some adjustments. They made sure like Top Gun Maverick was nominated for Best Picture and stuff like that. Like films that people maybe would have seen. But the film that won Best Picture, which we'll be talking about, I guess, Everything Everywhere All at Once, this is not one that's going to be for a wide audience, let's say. And we'll talk more about that, but it won a lot of awards. So overall, I think it was slightly more enjoyable. Like Jimmy Kimmel did the jokes and he was okay. Like he wasn't kind of insufferable. Like last time they had a really different way of doing it where they had three different kind of hosts. They were all ladies and it was all kind of very unpleasant in a lot of ways. He definitely was trying to be a little more congenial. Jimmy Kimmel has his own issues, but I think they wanted things to be a little more relaxed and maybe focused more on the glamour of Hollywood and a little less on the politics, but the politics did come through in different ways.
I have to mention, it looms in the shadow of last year's looms because of basically a case of physical assault that took place live on stage. Was there any reference to that of a comical nature?
Yes, there was. In fact, there were a couple of little quips and things that were kind of woven into Jimmy Kimmel's monologue and everything. And then at the very, very end, you know, they had as a prop along the way the donkey from the Banshees of Inisherin, and he comes off the stage and there's this donkey from the Banshees of Inisherin, and he walks past the donkey, and he walks, and they had a big guy in a bear suit because of this stupid movie that's out in the theaters right now, Cocaine Bear, and he walks over, and there's a little sign that says, number of Oscars with an incident. It's like a workplace injury kind of a thing, and he goes and sets it to like zero, so... Or number of Oscars without an incident, and he's able to go to one, I guess. So yeah, there was a little joke right at the very end for those who got to the end of the 3.5-hour telecast of the Oscars.
So I think it's acknowledged that this film, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, we actually talked about last year, I believe, that it walked away with everything for the most part, which happens a lot at the Oscars lately. Why do you think it was?
I've run into people who love this movie. And if you say that you don't like the movie, they look at you like you're a monster. So, I mean, people are very passionate about this movie. And then there are people who could take it or leave it, or who maybe find there to be problematic things in it. And we can dig into that a little bit. But I think there's a lot of people who really got behind this movie, in part because it does champion some things that are popular right now, you know, in terms of virtue signaling and things like that, or that people like may truly actually believe in those things. But I think that that's kind of part of it. Also, Hollywood likes the story of an up-and-comer kind of a thing. And this is the two directors here, co-directors, this Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. They're kind of in a meteoric rise at the moment, but they're kind of a peculiar pair of filmmakers. They're kind of like, I don't know if you remember John Waters, but they're kind of like him. They're very strange guys. Nice, but very strange. So that comes across in the film itself. So it's kind of like if that Chat GPT or whatever it is, like, wrote you a movie about the multiverse, and this is what came out, except it wasn't from that, it was from these two guys. So it's a very strange film, but it's kind of like an everything in the kitchen sink kind of multiverse, the internet on steroids movie. And I guess maybe some people think that this is going to be generally appealing to younger audiences, perhaps. And I would say that there's plenty of younger audience that like this movie. Some of the most passionate people I've run into are younger than I, who saw this movie. So maybe this is the day that I get to be the grumpy old man talking about this movie, but there's lots of things that we can look into when it comes to this.
Which Oscars did it actually garner?
It was nominated for 11 Oscars, which is lots. The nominations include Best Achievement in Music Written for a Motion Picture, Best Achievement in Music Written for a Motion Picture Original Song, so that's score and song. The original song one, it was co-written by David Byrne from the Talking Heads, who had a really terrible performance at the Oscars for that. Then also it was nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role, and Best Achievement in Costume Design. It didn't win for those categories, but those were nominations it had. The ones that it won for, it won 7 Oscars for Best Original Screenplay. So it's written by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. Best Achievement in Directing. So these two guys, they're also the directors. So they won for that. Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role. So that's Michelle Yeoh, who people would probably know from Ang Lee's martial arts Oscar-winning film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon from 2000, or maybe that Pierce Brosnan 007 film Tomorrow Never Dies a couple years before that in 1997. And also more recently, she was in John M. Chu's Crazy Rich Asians from 2018, which we talked about on the program, where she played an overbearing, hard-to-please Asian mother. She's also been recently on a Star Trek TV show that I think it's called Discovery. She was on that one. So she won for Best Actress in a Leading Role, Michelle Yeoh. It also won for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role, and that was Jamie Lee Curtis. And she's the daughter of Tony Curtis, who was in the movie Some Like It Hot with Marilyn Monroe from 1959, and also Janet Leigh, who is in the film Psycho by Alfred Hitchcock from 1960. So that's her parents. And in her acceptance speech, she kind of said, hey, look, you know, you guys were nominated for Oscars, but hey, I just won one. And it was kind of like a touching moment. she kind of got her start, I guess, in that John Carpenter film Halloween from 1978, kind of as a scream queen, and she's been involved in that franchise over the years and has been in a bunch of other things. So she won for Best Supporting Actress. And then Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role. So this is this Ki-Hoon Kwan, who people may remember as the little boy named Short Round in Steven Spielberg's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom from 1984, and as Data from The Goonies in 1985. And he was also in this comedy called Encino Man from 1992 with Sean Austin and Pauly Shore and with Brendan Fraser. And Brendan Fraser at the Oscars here on the last weekend won as Best Actor for that film, The Whale, which we have also kind of briefly touched on along the way, by Darren Aronofsky. So this guy, he's kind of like high quotient nostalgia. So lots of people remember him for these films from the past. He didn't have a really big meteoric rise in his career. He didn't get to be in lots and lots of movies. And he kind of at times felt like giving up on everything. And he won supporting actor role award at the Golden Globes, and then here at the Oscars also won. So it's kind of interesting too, because Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is by Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg's movie The Fabelmans was up for a bunch of awards and didn't win them, but the people in the room were people like this Brendan Fraser and Steven Spielberg are all people from this guy's own personal past, and he gets to be on the stage winning this award. So, and then they also, the film won an award for Best Achievement in Film Editing. And then the big one, it won Best Motion Picture of the Year. So those are the 7 awards that it did win, but it was up for 11 awards that night.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about the Academy Awards. We'll talk a little bit more about that nostalgia factor next. Hate my family, not peace but a sword, make friends by unrighteous wealth. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Jesus Said What? This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Jesus Said What? At issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Jesus Said What? 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
We're talking about the Academy Awards with Pastor Ted Geese. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled The Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, you mentioned something a moment ago about the nostalgia factor. You had the Kihi Wan, you had Jamie Lee Curtis, you had Brendan Fraser and Spielberg, all kind of big stars, but figures from the recent past. Why that nostalgia factor?
Yeah, I mean, they desperately need to bank on that right now because there's not a lot, like, they have to kind of try to get people interested in being involved in coming to the theaters or watching things. So, yeah, they're banking on that. But nostalgia doesn't win all the time. Judd Hirsch was from Taxi and from Dear John and stuff like that from the past, like an actor that's been around in everything a long time. He was in the movie The Fablemans, and he played Steven Spielberg's uncle who comes and visits the family when somebody dies in the family. So he was up for a supporting role Oscar, and he didn't win. But he's like old Hollywood, and he's a guy who could have won based on nostalgic voting from members of the Academy. So like sometimes they will recognize somebody for a body of work, and he was up for award, and he didn't win. But I think that like trading on nostalgia is why so many movies these days are sequels or reimaginings or reboots of previous popular successful projects from Hollywood. So like they're banking on this stuff right now, and this is part and parcel of it. So the interesting thing about this film is Everything Everywhere All at Once is very original and new and different in some ways. It's inventive, but it still does have all of those nostalgic bits in it because it's dealing with some of these actors that people have known for a very long time and people want to see them succeed. So it has that going for it. And then also it has the at the present new kind of multiverse related stuff. And it came out around the same time as the Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness film. So it's kind of like, you know, Hollywood does this thing where they'll have Dante's Peak and the movie Volcano that come out at almost the same time, or like Deep Impact and Armageddon. They'll have movies that come out from different studios about similar things at around the same time. So this was already an idea out there, this multiverse idea that is a new idea for Hollywood films that they've been playing with for a little while. So it gives you something new, something borrowed with the nostalgia, and I don't know, something blue. I don't, it has everything right now that Hollywood hopes will stick with audiences, and in some cases it has.
Speaking of Spielberg and The Fablemans, he is reported to have told an interviewer that The Fablemans is the film that he, I believe it's partly autobiographical, but he was asked what was his most impactful film to him personally making it. And he put The Fablemans over Schindler's List.
Well, yeah, it's his life story. Like, it's about him as a kid growing up, you know, as a teenager, and him finally getting into the industry as a filmmaker, or into the industry and later ending up being a filmmaker. It's about that. So it's very personal to him. He would definitely list that as probably. And the other thing that's interesting, I think, for a lot of people, anybody who saw it, this is a film that comes out of the fear of death. Because in the early days of the pandemic, like, nobody knew it was going to happen. He thought, heck, this might be it. I might die. So then that prompted him and another writer that he knew to like get going on this and make this movie, because maybe this is his only shot to do it. He kept putting this story, like telling this story off for years and years and years. So yeah, it's a super personal film for him. And it's also motivated by the fear of death.
Did it win anything?
It was nominated for 7 Oscars and it won 0 Oscars, including John Williams for original score. And he's in his 90s and he's been like nominated a gazillion times and he didn't win.
Okay, so this is something I want to pick your brain on. What does that tell you? That Steven Spielberg, arguably at the height of his career, still peaking at, I don't know what he's, 70-something, makes his own life story, pours his heart and soul into it. He has John Williams to do the score. And it's nominated for 7 and gets none.
That's crazy. I mean, like, well, I guess it's not that crazy. The thing is that, you know, some people will go, listen, you've won enough awards, or you've had a big enough career. So this is where the meritocracy kind of end of it can shift also to a changing of the guard, or a, you know, like, we want to go in a new direction these days. Maybe we need a new direction these days. You know, and when he was starting out in the industry, there were going to be people who had had long storied careers whose star was not shining as bright, let's say. So with him, I mean, he can do whatever projects he wants, and he will, just like Jim Cameron. So, you know, for him, he has to find satisfaction in the work that he's accomplishing, not necessarily in the accolades. That's what I'm getting out of that when I'm looking at this. I mean, he can be excited for some of the people that won, like this Ke-Hu Kwang, who he kind of handpicked to be in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. He can be excited for that guy, but he didn't get up to have an acceptance speech for anything with his film.
Maybe it shouldn't surprise us. I think Martin Scorsese has won Oscar.
And yeah,
almost 50 years of filmmaking.
It's just sometimes that's the way it works out. And in fact, that Bill Nighy, who is in the film Living, for a Best Actor Oscar, I would have wanted it to go to him. Because I thought him in that film was way better than Brendan Fraser in The Whale. But again, there's an element of this where it's also kind of a little bit like a high school popularity contest, right? Like, it's just, that's part of this whole industry as well.
With all those Oscars, is Everything Everywhere All at Once, should those Oscars recommend it?
Yeah, you know, like, some people are going to go, oh, well, gee whiz, I wasn't really planning to watch that movie, but maybe I should watch it now. It won Best Picture and all these awards, like, it must be pretty good. Well, listen, if you're on this fence with this, you don't have to. Like, remember, movie watching is voluntary. Don't watch it just because it won a bunch of awards. This film is not going to be for everyone. And maybe you would assume that if it won Best Picture, it would be for everyone. I just don't think that it is. I would not take this as the ironclad recommendation to see this film. Part of the reason why is, like, as soon as you dig into these directors at all, you're going to find that, like I said, they're very peculiar guys. This is their second feature-length film. They had made a previous film called Swiss Army Man in 2016 with Paul Dano, who happened to play Spielberg's dad in the biopic The Fablemans, and with Daniel Radcliffe, who was in the Harry Potter films as Harry Potter. And this is a really weird story about a guy who's about to commit suicide who sees a body washed up on the shore of this island that he's stranded on. And it's a dead body. And that's the dead body is Daniel Radcliffe. And then he ends up in this kind of weird adventure with this dead body with lots of farting. Like, it's got all the flatulence throughout the whole entire film. And then, like, Weekend at Bernie's, but the dead body talks a little bit. And it's super crass, it's over the top, weird movie. This is the same directors that make this film. And this film, while more complicated, is kind of a similar piece with that film. So what you're going to get is this really kind of heartfelt movie that is just crass and kind of perverse and weird. But it also has these heartfelt moments. So it's kind of dissonance, like a cognitive dissonance for viewers, I think. So it's just going to, like, people are going to watch this and they're going to shake their head at points along the way.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about the Academy Awards and the big winner, Everything Everywhere All at Once. We'll get his pastoral concerns about this film next.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further into St. Luke's Gospel with Like Days of Noah and Lot, The Persistent Widow, Pharisee and Tax Collector, Blessing the Children, and Rich Young Ruler. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, is looking for an English teacher with a master's degree for the 2023-24 school year. Edwardsville is 30 minutes from downtown St. Louis. The position would involve teaching upper-level, dual-credit English classes. For more information, send an email to Principal Jay Krause, J-A-Y-K-R-A-U-S-E, at melhs.org, jkrause@melhs.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
One of the greatest treasures in the Lutheran Church is the Lutheran Confessions, but it has not always been that way. From June 1st to the 3rd, Concordia University Chicago is hosting a seminar on the role of the confessional documents in the 19th century confessional revival. We invite you to come and learn about the recovery of the Lutheran Confessions through lectures and workshops, along with opportunities for prayer and fellowship. For more information, please visit cuchicago.edu/confessionalismseminar.
We're talking about the Academy Awards and the film Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. In a few minutes, Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us for This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we'll be talking about Rick Warren's interview wherein he offered biblical justification for the ordination of female pastors. Ted, what are your pastoral concerns surrounding Everything, Everywhere, All at Once?
Yeah, I mean, like, just to go into a little more detail. So you're still thinking to yourself, ah, well, but clearly Pastor Geese is just being kind of curmudgeonly here. All right. There are a couple other things. As I was saying, that there's kind of this, there's oddities sprinkled through all of this. One of the things is that it is quite violent at points. It's kind of a martial arts film. I guess the premise for people is that there's this family. It's a, you know, the Michelle Yeoh plays the mother, and that Ke-Huy Quan plays the father. Their daughter is involved in this too, plays the character of Joy, like this Stephanie, who plays Joy Wang. The family's last name is Wang. And it's kind of a family drama. And James Hong, who's been in everything, he was in Big Trouble in Little China. He plays the 90-some-year-old grandfather in the family. So you got this family dynamic going on, and they're going to deal with their taxes, and Jamie Lee Curtis is the tax auditor for their taxes. And what happens is it becomes this multiverse story where it becomes this big martial arts thing, and the estranged daughter and mother have to reconcile each other's, like, the relationship with each other. But Michelle Yeoh's character finds versions of herself all over the multiverse, and all of this kind of wild, crazy stuff unfolds. And in and amongst all of this wild, crazy stuff is also, like, peppered in with everything else, is like a lot of weird stuff with, like, sex toys and, like, kind of BDSM kind of sex-related oddities kind of in there. And then also, like I said, it's kind of violent at different points. And I mean, like, it's stuff that will make you shake your head and go, what am I watching? Like, that's definitely you're going to have moments like that in there. And then also that there's another storyline in there where, and again, this is very popular in Hollywood right now, where the daughter is a lesbian. She's got a girlfriend, but the mother, you know, doesn't want to introduce the daughter's girlfriend to the grandfather as the girlfriend and just says friend. So there's this kind of thing that has to get resolved along the way. And then in one of the multiverses, Michelle Yeoh and Jamie Lee Curtis are a lesbian couple with big hot dog fingers, like hot dog fingers that are bouncing around all over the place. I mean, it's pretty weird stuff. So if you're not into weird, this is not going to be the movie for you. If you're like, I like the stranger, the better, then maybe this is a movie for you. maybe it also, if you just get into this and not realize what you're getting into, it's going to be kind of like you assumed to go down this alleyway and you thought it was going to be a safe little trip down the alleyway. And partway down the alleyway, you get mugged by all this weird stuff. That would be a general pastoral concern for people. Some people are going to love that weirdness. The weirdness is not going to be for everybody, that's for sure.
Do you have any positives regarding this big winner?
Yeah, there's like one little part that has something that's kind of positive in it. The character of Weimin Wang, who's the father, this is the guy, Kwan, who won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. He has this little moment in the film when he says, he's talking about everything that's going on. And I said that it's violent and there's lots going on that's like kind of weird and crazy. He says, when I choose to see the good side of things, he says, I'm not being naive. It is strategic and necessary. It's how I've learned to survive through everything. I don't know. The only thing I do know is that we have to be kind. Please be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on. I know you see yourself as a fighter. Well, I see myself as one too. This is how I fight. So this has kind of in it the sentiment that you find from like Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Right. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Love your enemies, basically. When it all kind of boils down to it, the way that the film kind of comes to a conclusion is it becomes like the fighting happens through love. Basically at the end. And I think this is why people will, like some people who see this film and get past all the other wild stuff, which is significant and important to consider, will like that kind of idea of kindness, maybe putting the best construction on things. So you have that going on in the film, you have a lot of nihilism going on in the film, but for the glass half full types watching the film, they're going to take that away from the film and appreciate that.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, This Week in Pop Christianity, we'll talk about Russell Moore's interview with Rick Warren, wherein Warren gave at least what he thought was a biblical justification for female pastors.
Issues, etc. listeners are needed to vote for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has the right to vote through a pastoral and a lay voter, 2 voters per congregation or parish. Voter registration must be completed by midnight central on March 19th of 2023. Request to be a voter at your congregation for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more at issuesetc.org/2023nominations.
Do you know the fastest growing religious group in the United States? Is it Roman Catholics? Nope. It's not Protestants either. Rather, it's those who mark none on religion's preference surveys. They don't belong to any particular denomination. They still believe in some sort of spiritual being and reality, but they don't believe and don't claim adherence to any particular religious group. The March issue of the Lutheran Witness picks up the question of the nuns. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, we keep the focus on Christ every Sunday with ancient liturgy, preaching from the lectionary, and celebration of the sacrament of the altar. Come be a part of the evangelical and Catholic faith as handed down to us in the Lutheran Confessions. We celebrate the Divine Service every Sunday at 8 o'clock and 10:30 with Sunday School for all ages at 9:15. To learn more, visit holycrossrockland.org.
With the war on chocolate that's been happening around us lately, it's time to change up our Easter gift giving. And Adcrucem has the solution. We have hundreds of beautiful wares to enhance your and your loved ones' devotions. See our prayer beads, icons, wooden plaques, incense burners, and of course, our beautiful new chancel culture mugs and swag. Visit adcrucem.com. That's A-D-C-R-U-C-E-M.com.